Yo, yiggity yo. Welcome back to the Beast Podcast. It is your host, Deshaun Beasley. On today's show, I'm apparently going to get interviewed by my co-teacher, Muhammad Damba. He was on the previous episode where I interviewed him for my program. So I'm going to pass the mic over. Oh, wait, I can't. Because I got three things I'm grateful for and who I am. Hey, I'm Deshaun Beasley. I'm a teacher, educator, basketball coach, mentor, friend. Three things I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for basketball. I'm grateful for... a lot of things. That deep breath that I just took, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for people, like just people in general. I feel like God presents the best gifts in people, you know, like our help comes from people, like seen it time and time again through the Bible, like, I mean, it sends animals too, most times, but anywho, so those are the three things I'm grateful for.
What is your background like as a student, like, you know, as a youth? What was your youth like?
I've always been a good student. I don't think I've ever had anything lower really than a C. Outside of seventh grade project, I think I went on a vacation. I missed a week of school. We were doing a project. I came back to school and I didn't inquire about the project and how it would affect my grade. So when it got put into the grade book, obviously it dropped my grade considerably. But outside of that, as you can see, I'm traumatized from it because I remember that. But outside of that, like, I pretty much had good grades. I do remember, like, my sophomore year, I definitely cheated quite a bit in math class just because I never did the homework. I pretty much understood it, but I would always, like, not do the homework because I would be hooping, you know. But I think generally I was a good student. Yeah, that's, like, my educational. I actually used to, like, write papers for people for money.
So would you say school was a place that you enjoyed being in and you didn't feel like, oh, man, I got to be in school, but you actually enjoyed learning since a young age?
I didn't mind it because what else was I going to be doing? And I actually liked learning because I realized, like, learning is being – I was taught – I understood my thought process at an early age was – by getting good grades, I get into a good school, therefore I get a good job. So I knew in order to have a good job, essentially was the end product, this was the step, a necessary step. So I didn't really mind going to school. Like, I remember even times like my junior and senior year, I had to get up even earlier to get dropped off to, like, catch the bus to school because I went to a vocational school, whatever. And my mom would, like, threaten me. Like, if I didn't hurry up, you know, like parents be like, if you don't hurry up, I'm gonna leave you. She'd be like, if you ain't hurry up, you ain't going to school. Like, for most kids, like, that's not gonna be a threat, right? Like, you know, so yeah.
That's definitely a good problem to have, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna ask you this question. What do you think of education or youth work in general? What do you think it's missing? What is something that is doing well in, but something that it's been lacking, and that something that you would change if you were in a good position in the field?
Can you answer that question first?
Yeah. So I would say, what is something I would change? I believe that education, it needs to change in some ways. I believe in learning the math, and I believe in learning how to read and write. And all of those foundational skills, I think, are important. I think there are different ways to go about it. I think long days is preparing you more for just working for a long period of time. I think we just need to learn how to have life skills along with along with learning the grades, I feel like behavior or self, how do I say this, like mannerism and etiquette, and like I feel like in a way it should be held, like education should be more like training for the things that you're going to be doing in your life. And I think the curriculum of like everything being so separate, it's hard for people to really do it and feel good about it, you know what I mean? So if you're just learning math, for example, like you're learning the numbers, you might have fun doing math if you, you know, if you get the concept behind it. But for most people, they don't really know ways they're going to use their math in real life. So teaching them how to do things based off of goals. So for example, we, in our class, we've done a project, for example, the juice box, the project where the students had to build a business and try to make it successful and calculate what things are going to cost and what they're going to, you know, what is going to cost them to make the product and what's going to be their markup and all of these things and their expenses, their everything, right? The withdrawals they have to make. So being able to do that, I feel like if it was in a, yes, the math is important, right? But teaching it in that concept was really like based on real life, like something you can actually apply, something you can leave the classroom and do during the weekend or whenever you have time. I think though that is a direction education should move into more than, you know, 5 days a week you're going to be sitting down at this desk and you're going to be working on paper, sitting down for a long period of time. I don't even feel like that's the best way to do it, go about things. I feel like schools should be like more in an open space, like more like in a place where, okay, students are allowed to move around, right? But that can also be, that's hard to set up, and it's, you know, that's another reason why I feel like teachers are a bit underpaid, or not a bit, are underpaid, because if they start paying teachers more, it's something you can spend more time doing, where teachers already spend a huge amount of time working on, you know, the lessons, the grading, and all of these things, and meetings, all of these things. I feel like if you pay teachers more, you'll get the best in the field, and the best would dedicate more time into, you know, investing in the education, finding different creative ways to teach.
But I want to, so my push is, because you keep using youth worker and educator synonymous, so are you saying that youth workers, as in individuals who work at rec centers and nonprofits and all of that, should get paid more as well? And are you saying that, you know, are you, am I understanding that correctly?
Like, are you saying, like, the youth worker, repeat your question, please?
Because you're using educator. So the term that we use in YDEV discourse is youth worker. Now, youth worker can stem from somebody working at the YMCA. It could be somebody working at a nonprofit. It could be social services, you know. It could be a teacher, an educator. It could be a gym teacher. It could be defined as anybody who is in touch with educating the youth. So when you say educators need to be paid more, and you're using that synonymous with youth worker, are you saying that somebody who works at a recreation center should be paid more on par with teachers?
I think yes, and I think they should, most of them, should be doing more. I think getting paid more also meaning having higher expectations of what they're going to do. So I think education should be broader and teach life skills and help you achieve your life goals. So at a certain age, I would say starting at like 7 years old, it should start at a young age where you try to get a feel of what this kid or this child has like a proclivity towards, right? And You want to see what they're good at, what they like. They're, you know, usually people tend to like things they're good at. If you're better than most people at something, you're going to have a sense of pride about it. You're going to be passionate about it. You're going to, most of the time, that's how it goes. So I think you find, which I like, you know, at a certain age, maybe 7, 6, you know, they learn some writing skills, they learn basic skills, but they also, you try to get a feel for, what is this kid good at? What is he, does he excel at? Is he a good athlete? Is he somebody who likes music? Is he an athlete? Is he, like, does he like to help people? Is he like, you know, somebody who can be in the medical field? And, you know, you try to present that to them. You take them to that type of area where educators have a specific ability to teach what those kids want to do. So, for example, I think you even mentioned this idea before, where, like, I think they also do it in Europe, where they have, like, basketball schools. The school is for basketball. You're learning basketball, the whole curriculum. Of course, you learn basic skills. Like, you know, we all know you don't need to know pi and, like, recite everything to be able to live in the real world and deal with money and, you know, buying things and all of those things. You don't really need to have that specific skills. Yes, there are people who need to have those skills, but you don't. Most people don't. And so if you want to be a basketball player, for example, I think that should be a school. They should teach you how to read and write. Maybe that takes up less of your day. Like, maybe you spend 1 hour, 2 hours. 1 hour you're learning how to do basic math, or, you know, those kind of things, and or even that within context. And then you learn how to write, like learn how to write a letter, learn how to write, you know, things that you're going to, like, how to send an email, how to, you know, keep a journal, you know, those kind of things. You learn those skills that involve writing, and you focus on what you need to focus on. So if you want to be, I feel like education being broader like that would also require more investment and giving money to education as a field. And I also, this also include youth worker, because, you know, let's say you're a coach, you're a youth worker, you're not technically an educator, but you are teaching these a lot of skills. And so, yeah, that's how I think, that's what I think about that.
Yeah, I agree. They need to pay these coaches more, bro. These coaches be putting in hours, bro, for pennies, bro. Myself included, bro. Like, high school, man, don't get me started. But, any other questions? Oh, I get, what, is that question for me?
Yeah, it was.
What I would change?
Yeah.
The length of the school day, for sure. The days do not need to be that long. And then, by the way, I'm going to stop at the crib to get my bike rack, or to get my bike and my bike rack,
because
I'm going to drop my car at
the school.
The car dealership, so I can. Wait, never mind. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, because I got to do it tonight. Because if I don't do it tonight, I'm definitely not going to do it in the morning. So,
okay, okay.
Maybe I'll go to the Cranston Y. I think that's pretty close. But anywho.
You a morning person?
Am I a morning person? I don't know, man. I feel like in the past I was. Because I used to work as a lifeguard at Lifetime. And I would have to open the pool at 4 a.m. So I would have to get up at like 3 a.m., you know, and I was on the regular. I do that like a couple times a week. But like as of late, like, I don't know. I know I can be a morning person, and I can be an evening person. I think I really like the fact that I've gotten over the whole grind, 4 hours of sleep mentality, because like now I'm more aware and conscious how I'm spending my waking hours. Like, for example, I think it was today, I set my alarm for like 5:30. I set like 2 or 3 alarms, and I basically slept through them. I turned the mugs off and stayed asleep, you know, and that was my body telling me something. But in my waking hours, because now that I slept an extra hour in the morning, I get that back ideally in the evening time, right? So as long as I'm using my waking hours productively, it really shouldn't matter when I wake up and when I go to sleep. You know, now obviously there's certain times where, oh, I have to work out in the morning, because if I don't, you know, I don't get the workout in the evening because of X, Y, and Z. But for the most part, but to go back to the double back to the question, what I would change, I think the school days don't need to be that long. I think we need to put the education more in the students' hands, as in really emphasize reading, because I feel like once you can read, you can teach yourself. Like once you can read, you can learn about social studies through books, and you know, there's different mediums to learn. Audio, video, text are really the three mediums, and here soon through tech, you know, same thing through science, by doing, by watching, mathematics, I think, still through practice you need, but like really once you can read and once you can read and understand numbers, like counting, like really like math is just different ways to count. You count by adding numbers together or adding numbers together multiple times, multiplication, like separating numbers, division. Like I feel like once you can teach yourself, especially with technology, you can use tech to really leverage that. So I think having shorter days, more access to technology, and use case scenarios to use technology to solve modern day problems, like for example the juice packet that we gave them. Imagine if we were to give them a Chromebook and have them have to research everything, like, okay, now you have to actually go and source your fruit. So I need you to Google restaurants, grocery stores, and actually go to the store and, like, air quote, buy these fruits. You know what I mean? Like, shop online. Like, how much is the compare from different stores? You know? I think that is one. I think two, I agree with what you said as far as emphasizing the arts and what the kid is interested in. If that kid is interested in band, let's really push him in his band and in his music. If they really like chess, let's really emphasize and push them in that. If it's sports, at an early age, because who knows, they might get good enough, you know, at an early age to where they can be a professional. Professional just means that you're the best of the best, you're getting paid to do so. Overtime Elite, as far as sports, have shown that kids in high school can be professionals. I think also, even with in other sports, you can be professional. Soccer players are professionals at, you know, 15 years old sometimes. What else would I change? I do like how we're changing the expectations with the new wave of charter schools. I like the effort. I applaud the attempt and effort. And we can always poke holes in things, you know, and talk about their flaws, but I do understand that there are individuals, there is this new wave, this new generation, because a lot of these people who are opening the schools, like the gentleman who came to us, you remember the last CP, or community meeting, the gentleman from the school that's opening up, the new high school, opening up.
Yeah.
There's such a new wave, especially here in the New England area, of new schools trying to change the academic standards and access, you know, making, you know, equitable access. So I do think there's more of that. And I also believe that what else should change? I think the school days are just too long. They don't need to be that long, if I'm being honest. Higher standards, more adult intervention, more parent-teacher conferences.
As far as the field, do you think we're heading towards the right direction? Because there's, in a way, we're more successful. The world is better in a sense, because you're becoming... you know, where we have more money now, more jobs, more technology, things are easier. So in a sense, would you say we're going towards the right direction in terms of, this definitely like includes education, right? Do you think we're heading up in the right direction, or are we, you know, not achieving the success that we should? And this also, to another part of this question, I think this is also a product of like the behavior that we see in class versus, I would say, back in the older days, students were better behaved, in a quote unquote. So in a way, they do have more freedom, but because of that, are they using it the right way? And so in this sense, like, should students be told what to do all the way until they become adults, or around the age where they're like, all right, now you know what the right thing is to do, we're going to treat you like an adult, but as you're growing up, since you don't know better, we're going to teach you what you need to know. And that's like the opposite of what I was talking about earlier. You know what I mean? Which one do you think is better? Because sometimes students can become super successful by being told what to do, although they're not passionate about it, but because they're made to do something and the expectations are so high, they end up excelling, even though they didn't make that choice. You chose for them, but it turned out well, in a sense.
Thanks for asking. I think are we headed towards the right direction? I do think so. I do think we're headed towards the direction. I think we're starting to see the problems in the previous way we educated youth. Like I spoke about previously, like, we're doing things to, like, improve the schools, new things in place. I think the difficult thing with education is, and you mentioned this, education really starts in the home. That is the first way you are educated, and we are in an epidemic of fatherlessness, the splitting up of families, which is taking away from the security from children as they're being born. You know, if you're, I don't know, man, it's hard to, because, you know, back, you know, traditionally, like you said, you know, because you said behaviorally kids were better. Back in the day, you had mom and dad. So you had mom who was always home. So if the kid wasn't acting right in school, mom could go get him. Mom could, you know, whatever, go up to the school, whatever. Dad was the main breadwinner. There was stability there. There was roles. There was structure. There's stability. Obviously, back then, there was also domestic violence, you know, men ruling with an iron fist, literally. And the same in schools, right? Kids was getting beat down. I think you're going to pay attention when you see somebody get their ass whooped literally with a wooden paddle. You know, transitioning that into, you know, the splitting of the families, especially with, you know, we already know our education was bad back in the 60s, you know, before schools were integrated, with the lack of resources, the lack of books, the lack of even water in the school, the lack of even having a building in the school. And then integration happens. And what is that, 68, Brown versus Board? And then you go into the 70s. I mean, we're still, you know, I think it was the white flight really started beginning in the 70s. I don't know. I would have to fact check that. But then you get to the 80s and the crack epidemic that was really hitting the streets hard. And one of the things that I never even thought about until I was listening to Dr. Eric Thomas's podcast, they were talking about how when crack took over, the reason why it spread so quickly was because it was like a common thing that people were just doing at parties. Like, you know how like you'll be at a party and somebody be like, oh, like, you want to hit this joint or something like that. Or, oh, you want to, and, like, it's like some crack. Like, oh, you want to try this crack? Like, and you at a party, everybody vibing, and, like, people just trying it, and then they getting hooked. And then it's like, okay, now, like, it's spreading like wildfire. Like, that was something I didn't even think about, because back then it was really only cocaine, and you could only get access to cocaine if you had bread. So you're not partying with cocaine if you're lower income, living in the hood after all the white people went away, and where are the jobs in that neighborhood, because it's all black people, and who's servicing the black people, because we're talking about dead zones where there's not groceries and public transportation and redlining, and now you can't buy houses. And so then that happens, and obviously that's splitting up families left and right, because mom and dad are home, mom and dad are dying in the streets, blah 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 blah. So now those kids are the ones who are, I mean, I would say today maybe they're starting to get out of power, but they were kind of in leadership positions, you know. Like, the people who grew up in the 80s without moms and dads, let's think about it. If you were 10 in the 80s, right now, you're, what, 40, 50? If my age is right. Those are the people who are in these leadership positions. So they're seeing the flaws that happened in their education experience and from their upbringing. And, you know, from those age groups, a lot of those people are the ones who are getting divorced, as we see the divorce rate is in the 50s, a little bit above 50. So, and then we also saw how in the 2000s, early 2000s, in inflation and how the cost of living was just rising. So now you get this wave of splitting of families, and also I need to be able to make more money just to put food on the table, you know. So now mom and dad have to work. So now you talk about that, who's educating the kids and who's at home to educate the kids, to show them right and wrong. Because you leave it to TV and social media, which is fast forward to today, that is what is raising the kids and teaching them what is right and what is wrong. You know, that's where they're getting their biggest influence from. They're not getting it from mom and dad. Especially the younger the kids are getting access to phones. So when we talk about where is education going and is it going in the right direction, education is. But until we can find a way to make, you know, having a family and raising a family and having a solid family unit cool, I don't think we're going to see many advancements in our education. Because I think that's where it starts.
Speaking of which, one community that especially is suffering from, you know, lack of fatherlessness is the black community. What do you think, how important is youth working and workers to the community of, you know, black people?
Wow, that's such a great question. And one of the reasons why I became a youth worker, because I decided I wanted to be the person that I wish that I had in my life. So, and I think because that there is a lack of structure in the homes and, you know, the amount of fatherlessness, I think because the youth workers serve as mentors, you know, they can help the youth guide. The youth are guided through life with, like, a teammate almost, you know, because youth workers, like, they're not seen as parents, mom and dad, you know, although sometimes, you know, you might create that relationship with them. But a lot of the times it's like I'm a friend and a mentor. I would say mentor, because a mentor can also be a friend. A friend isn't always a mentor. I think you see them as a mentor, and you see them as somebody who is an ally. And I think when you see somebody who is an ally, you really are empowered when you're around them and in their presence. So, and you feel safe. You feel all the things. You feel what home is. Like, you know, there are certain individuals who, you know, a student might say, like, for example, I think it was Miss Lopes today in our professional development. She was discussing how other kids from other classes and other grades would want to come into her room because it felt like, I believe the adjective or the noun she said was home, I think. And it's like that warmth, and you can create that by being that mentor, you know, that, yeah. that person in their life that they didn't have or that they don't have.
That's true. Although we don't have, you know, as many fathers in the community involved, I would say that is something that can mitigate it a little bit, you know. And what do you think is it's going to take for this, you know, fatherlessness to go away? What's gonna you know, fix things?
That's a good question. I was listening to, I've been heavily influenced, even really to get into education, by Dr. Jawanja Kanjufu. He has some really cool talks on YouTube, but he talks about how the ways that men are not eligible for women. One of them was homosexuality, because that takes out actually two men, right? They talked about unemployed, being in prison, just the different ways that, like, men are not bachelors in general, like eligible bachelors, we'll say. And not saying that because you don't have a job, you can't get married. I'm not saying that. But we can talk about to qualify to, like, it's hard to raise a family if, like, I mean, it's sad to say, but, like, I don't want to say it's sad to say, but it's just reality. Like, if somebody's not putting food on the table, then, like, and that's not to say the woman can't work, be, you know, be the worker and bringing home most of the money, and the dad could not have a job or the man could not have a job. But more times than not in today's economy, like, you need both people working. And so that man should be working, ideally. That's my belief. These beliefs are sponsored by Deshaun Beasley. Yeah, I think what solves it, or what helps solves it, is... the reframing how we see the sexes, like the genders, less objectifying of our women, and I think also a greater emphasis, like marriage is not really, relationships are not really looked as something like inherently good. Like, if you look at, like, the jokes about marriages, if you look at, like, the divorce rate and how people look at relationships and how, like, oh, are we talking, are we not talking, or, like, cheating, and like if you look at our culture, like, it's not looked upon. If you're in a healthy relationship where y'all don't cheat on each other and y'all help each other grow, you are an anomaly. And that is our culture that we're in today. And I think for us to not have this homelessness, I think we need to stop that. And I think also we need to really look at character development and personal development at an earlier age, because I feel like a lot of these individuals who are becoming moms and dads are not developed enough as people to be doing that. I think if you had a greater self-awareness, I mean, I do know, I can't even say accidents happen, because you know what you're doing. Like, you know that if you put that in there, that is what happens, you know. But I think having more, I was listening to a podcast by Tim Ross, The Basement, or no, Hardly Initiated is the podcast that he was on. But they were talking about how I think, like, a bishop was teaching him that sex was something that was to be looked at as, like, your body's like a temple. And he said temples and the modern, and like back in the day, the only people who would go in the temple was a priest. And every woman is a temple. You know, our bodies are a temple. So you're not the priest that should be going into that temple. Like, you're not the priest that goes into any and every temple, you know. And that analogy, I think, was very, I think, should be very foundational to how we look at relationships. And I think that would prevent a lot of the, I don't want to say it would prevent, but hopefully it would help prevent a lot of the multiple sex partners, which typically leads to I mean, I don't know. This is my assumption. I would assume that because people got multiple side dudes and girls, that they be smashing, and then they got a kid with one of their side dudes or girls, or maybe they have a kid with somebody who they really didn't want to be in a long-term loving relationship with them, but they just wanted the benefits of being in a... Because that's essentially what happens. Like, you just trying to... Like, I don't want to say you just trying to, but, like, they put that in front of the things that it really takes to have a healthy, sustainable relationship. And I think once we get back to understanding the values of relationships, then, you know, we will see the fatherlessness. I think, you know, the mentorship, I think there's so many different things, the education, the way we're influenced with technology and the way we're nurtured. And there's just so many different things that need to happen in order for, I just think, a greater self-awareness and a greater, what is it called when you're able to zoom out and pan out from what's going on in the world? You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I can't, like, I can't really, like, it doesn't come to mind either.
Yeah, but being able to do that, because, like, if we look at our life in the grand scheme of things, like, we're all educators, we're all youth workers, and we all should be influencing and setting a good example. We all should be teaching them that, like, we handle our responsibilities and that we're accountable for our actions and that mean what we say. Because if you mean what you say and do it with your actions, meaning you're having relations with an individual and you're meaning it with your actions, meaning that you're willing to be with this person and bear the consequences of your actions of doing the thing, then you shouldn't, bearing the consequences of those actions are not bailing out, accepting the consequences of those actions is not aborting the child. I know I'm getting kind of risky now, you know, but I'm just keeping it in a buck though. Like you can't want the benefits of our nature as humans and not want to accept the responsibility of what we did as humans, as natures, because as humans, as nature, we take care of our youth and we nurture our youth and we set them in the way that they should go.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And I would say also to build onto that, I think personal responsibility, you need to feel like you are also responsible for the people in your community, the people, your neighbors. You need to be, and to that, I'm not saying everybody should be religious, right? But, like, those kind of values should still apply. Maybe you don't have to be religious. It's not for everybody. But you can still, like, you know, follow, like, the Ten Commandments. You know, like, you shouldn't cheat. You shouldn't, you know, kill. You shouldn't do any of these things. You should be a good neighbor, you know? So I feel like those values are still ones that,
you know, you can sit in the car. I'm just getting the bike rack, and we'll put it on the back of my car, and then put my bike on there, and then we're going to go back to school.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
purse, I can see your tampons. And why do you need six? What happens to you? Close your purse, I can see your tampons.
Hey, Dad, what do you got there?
Chris, next time there's a sandwich in the fridge with... I just think you're a really...
Peter!
I just think you're a really cool island, and I'd like to get to know... Oh, God! Oh, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. You're just so pretty. Please don't tell the other islands. I just think you're a really...
Peter, I'm your conscience, Jiminy Cricket.
Hey, man, just a heads up. Instead of howling at the moon tonight...
Excuse me, Mom, could you please pass...
Well, I got the results of your ultrasound, and I got some news for you.
Wait.
Any heavy yet?
You okay? You guys okay?
Great seats.
Yeah, it's a whole different game when you sit down here.
You okay? You guys okay?
Great seats.
Any heavy yet, Rich?
Got the whole jacket. Oh yeah, you yeah,
I'm about to ride my bike.
Well, because I didn't work out really, you know.
My bike.
bike ride is going to be my workout. And then I actually was thinking about, I want to buy a weight set. Okay. I need to charge my phone, actually.
Do you have any weights?
Yeah, I have some dumbbells. I have a 25-pound plate. I have two 25-pound plates.
With a bar?
No, I don't have a barbell. Okay. I don't have a bench set. I don't have a squat rack. So I want to get a squat rack and a bench set. I found some for like $200, okay. $250. But I just haven't pulled the trigger on it. I don't know if I trust myself to stay consistent enough to,
you know, right?
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I think it would be good because, like, that's why I kind of stopped the morning workouts that we were doing because, like, it was productive, but, like, you know, you factor in a 20-minute drive and then a 15-minute drive, like, it's 35 minutes. Like, imagine, you know, if I were to just stay at home and knock out a 35-minute workout.
That is true. You would get a lot more done, you know, like, less time.
Especially
except for the basketball part, that part.
Yeah, except for the basketball, but I can get that later in the day. That's the basketball stuff isn't hard to get in. It's usually the weights because, like, for example, today, like, I wanted to – I honestly thought we were going to get out of PD early today because I was planning on –
I got to stay until 3:30.
Yeah, because I was planning on lifting before the session today.
Okay.
Because I planned on lifting, you know, then I obviously the session I was hoping to get more shots up, but the skill level, obviously, and then obviously the yoga fell through. But yeah. Yeah, do you have any other questions for me? I don't know. Since we're wrapping it up here, we got about 8 minutes left.
8 minutes. Let's see. In about the field of education, right?
The field of education? What do you mean?
Youth work.
Oh, youth work.
Youth work, right?
Yeah, okay. Youth work or any, it could be anything. I mean, okay. I feel like everything is attributed to youth work. Like, the person is going to be facilitating the youth work. So we've been talking a lot about, like, last week we were talking about youth work and activism. Mm-hmm. So, like, youth work and how adults and youth collaborate when it comes to activism. And that means, like, advocating for, you know, insert thing here. Like, even just the other day, I actually saw that some of the Providence schools, some of the kids actually had, like, a little protest outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. What is the ultimate, like, when it's all said and done, what is something, like, what is a big achievement or something like that that you wanted want to be said about you? How do you want history to remember you?
Somebody who helped a lot of people. Who just, like, always put other people first. I really like, it's funny that they say in no nonsense, like, they were talking about nurture. Because, like, I can really, like, relate to, like, the no, like, it doesn't matter. Like, no nonsense to me kind of sounds like no matter what you think, like, it is what it is, and this is what needs to be done, you know? And I think having that sort of, see, this is the road that was closed this morning. This is why I was actually, because I was on time. Like, I was, like, on time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I wasn't even really that late.
Yeah, it wasn't, like we, that was the first activity that we were doing, the good morning ones. So.
But, like, this is why I was late, because it was one lane, so. This wasn't really why I was late. I was late because I left the house late. Let's be honest.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Let's be honest.
You could have been early on Let's time.
Be, I could have been, on, been time. On time. I could have been on time. Yeah. But, yeah, I think that's what I wanted to be said of me. Like, I helped a lot of people, put people first, no nonsense, nurture, you know, type of vibe. But, yeah, it was always fun. Not always fun, but it was joyful, you know, authentic, you know, felt safe. I've really been taking that into consideration, the whole, like, feeling safe in your presence, you know, like, for kids to be safe, to be themselves, to be safe, that, yeah, I think that feeling of safety is important, especially in education. Like, if you're not safe, how are you able to learn? Like, if you feel like you have to, it's an ongoing battle between you and your teacher, how are you going to feel safe to learn and make mistakes in class, you know?
That is true, right? that helping others is a good way to be remembered. And would you say, I heard the saying, right, where like everybody dies twice. I heard. So the first time when you die, like the day of your death, where you no longer live, and then the second death is when nobody says your name again. So, like, one thing that I've, like, what do you think of this one where they say, like, oh, huge rock, that maybe the goal of life should be to live like as long as possible. And so if you get remembered, if people keep mentioning your name 1,000 years from now, like, you did what you're supposed to do, you know what I mean? What do you think of that kind of mindset in terms of, like, legacy? And do you think we all, in a way, have that feeling of, like, man, this is my legacy. This is what I do it all for. This is why my kids have my last name. This is how, like, I broke this record. You know, nobody's going to get that. This is how exceptional I am. Do you think that's what it's all about? Even with animals, like lions kills cubs of the rival lion. Those, you know, those kind of things. What do you think about that?
I think it all goes back to what you're doing it for. You know, I think since the end of time, that's how it's been, but that's not how it is. You know, how I'm living, I want to be able to live my life and be able to look God in the face, hopefully. I don't know if that's a thing. And him be like, you did all that you could to help as many people, you know, like, you tried to improve at every step, you know, good job, you know, as long as I get that, like, whether man, like, and I think that goes back to, you know, kind of some of the questions I was asking you, kind of like about, like, success in education and people getting paid more, you know, obviously we want to get paid enough to, like, have our means and do what we want to do in life. But I think it's like, what are you rooting your reward system off of? Like, what is a win for you? Like, what are you doing it for? You know, are you doing it for the people cheering for you? Like, that's people cheering for you. Like, are you doing it for the cheers? If you're doing it for the cheers, you're probably doing it for the wrong reason, because they're going to cheer when you're doing something that benefits them, and they're going to boo and throw tomatoes when you're not doing something that benefits them. We see it all the time, like, especially with kids. Like, it's nature. Like, if you tell them we're going to go to recess all day, they're going to love you. Yay, you're the best teacher ever. You tell them I need you to do a math problem, and they're like, no, you're being so mean and unfair. Like, it's human nature. Like, you know, we like things that benefit us. Like, go away from displeasure or go away from pain. So, yeah, so if you're doing it for the cheers, if you're doing it for the legacy as far as your name, you know, I feel like that's an ego pursuit. And not to say that ego is bad, but I think you have to check that ego, you know. Are you saying that you didn't do a good job if people aren't saying your name and proclaiming your name through the streets like King David? King David killed his, King Saul killed his thousands, but King David killed his hundreds of thousands. Like, what are you, like, are you idolizing yourself? Like, what, like, come on now, like, what, like, I get the whole legacy concept, you know. I think setting up your children's children is a part of the legacy, but, you know, if you're hoping that people say your name and chant, and, you know, it's kind of like that basketball player, like, are you doing it for the fame, or are you doing it because you love the game? Because if you're doing it for the fame, you're not going to wake up early and get those shots up. You're not going to, when you get an injury, rehab from that injury and try to get back to your old self and maybe have to change your game and change your identity as a hooper. You know, same as an education. Like, if you get, you know, if they offer you a salary that's not what you want it to be because you want to, you know, be some type of person, and you're basing your worth and your success on this certain benchmark, like, you know, like, what's your guiding compass? I think that's what it comes back to. Because, I mean, yeah, we do want to have our name live on, you know. We do want people to be like, yo, this person did good things. But what is that going to do for anybody? What is that going to do for, you know what I mean? You're not going to be able to benefit from it. You dead. Like, you go. Like, you're not going to be able to feel good about it. Like, maybe your family feels good about it and feels proud about it, and maybe if they feel proud enough, they carry on your legacy, i.e. like Marcus Garvey. I was doing a lot of research on Garvey and how he was very influential in, you know, the black movement and such. And how, like, and I think that right there is, like, I think that's it. Like, he was very influential, and he was so influential and such that the generations of people who were influenced by him continue to live on his legacy, even though maybe mainstream media doesn't clap for him. But so I think that's another part of it, facet as well. Like, who are you looking for to clap for you? Like, friends and family and, like, your true fans, like, your true supporters, like, cool. Like, are you looking for everybody to support you? You know, the millions and the thousands and, you know, it's just a thought.
Would you say, so you look, it seems like you see the good in people, because if you're, like, doing something, you're helping others, right? And, you know, sometimes when you're successful or, you know, even when you're helping some people, they are not necessarily grateful or actually want to give back, right? So I feel like seeing the world in that way tells me that, like, you see, like, okay, I'm doing this for this person. This person does not need to recognize me. I'm just going to do it because it feels good to do good, whether you appreciate it or not. Would you say you're that kind of person, or would you say you do good for those who appreciate it? And if you don't appreciate it, or I don't think you appreciate it, then I'm no longer going to do it for you. So, like, niceness versus kindness.
Yeah, I just think about it like I'm on an assignment, and so, you know, for example, education, like, whether parent-teacher conferences go well or they don't go well, and, you know, a parent's mad, a student's mad, regardless, no nonsense nurture. I'm going to do what I need to do to set that expectation for you to, you know, get to that, you know, level, whether it's basketball, whether it doesn't matter, like, within education. And I think you're always going to run into the fact that you're always going to run into trouble, you know, people who want to oppose that. But I do think, if I'm answering the question, I do think, I would assume enough in the people that if I'm providing the service, they would respect me enough to respect me in the process of judging me about providing the service. So, like, they wouldn't berate me, they wouldn't cuss me out, they would have a, you know, like, you can have an opinion about how I'm doing something. That's all fine and well, as long as you address it respectfully. Because you are my client, essentially. Like, whether it's a parent, you are my client. It's a student, you are my client. Like, if it's admin, you know, culture team, you are my client. Like you're all are my co-teacher, you're my client. Like, you know, the kids that I'm training, like, my students, they're my clients. Like, so I do want that feedback and understanding. And I would hope the good in them, that they would be able to do that respectfully and in a way that could benefit both parties. But outside of that, it's not my job to really care about the good in others. I'm on assignment.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, too. Because then you're not, like, being used. You're actually, you're doing something for yourself, but along the way, you're helping others.
Yeah, it's like, okay. do it because you want to do it, not because somebody told you to do it. Mm. Like, if you're doing it because somebody told you to do it, like, you're going to go about it with a totally different energy, as opposed to, like, I'm doing it because I want to do it. You know, for example, we all get invited to those meetings where they're forcing us to go, like, we have to go to this meeting, and we know what this meeting is going to be about, as opposed to, you know, for example, today we just had a meeting and we were all, like, engaged, looking forward, you know what I mean? It was a vibe, you know? So, but for different intentions, because we actually had a goal in mind that we wanted to accomplish. But yeah.
All right, then, bro.
All right, thank you for helping me with my project.
Of course.
This should be my whole project. I want to interview Miss Silk, too. Miss Silk, you next.
Yeah.